Good morning and welcome to our next in the series of our digital podcast. Today we're going to sort of chew the fat a little bit, as it were, on the pace in which technology has really sort of springboarded into businesses over the last year in particular. I'm joining in the discussion today, and to try and get a little bit of healthy debate going, I'm joined by Will McKinty from QBS, and he's the regional lead at QBS. And also my colleague, Gareth McKee, business solutions consultant, works alongside me at Experience. So we've got the formalities out of the way. Guys, what do you actually do on a day to day? Who wants to go first? What's your actual...
So Gareth, why don't we start with you, mate?
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thanks for that, Will. As Jabba says, my official title is business solutions consultant, but how you see yourself and what your job title are usually two different things. So what I see myself doing with an Experience and with our customer base and our new clients is paint pictures. Ultimately, my goal is to make customers aware of what they can do in terms of IT and digital transformation and where they can take their business via a series of applications, namely the Microsoft stack of products, so Business Central, Dynamics 365, and Microsoft 365. So I get very excited about those products and very excited about what customers are doing traditionally and where I could see them going.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about yourself then?
My name's Will McKinty. So I look after a company called QBS Group. I'm one of the founders of the business. What do we do at QBS Group? Well, we're a slightly weird company that's behind the scenes in some respects. We work exclusively with Microsoft partners who have a focus on business applications and digital transformation for their customers. We're kind of lucky. We work with about 850 customers throughout Europe. Mm-hmm. And I've been lucky enough to work with the guys at Experience over the last, 7 years almost, to help them with their own digital transformation as they embrace the possibilities of the cloud. I'm also kind of lucky in so much as I used to work for a company called Microsoft many, many moons ago, where I used to work on digital transformation programs in Microsoft, you know, to help Microsoft and Microsoft's partner ecosystem, you know, embrace new technologies and take new technologies to market. Mm-hmm. So is that enough?
Yeah, that I think that's good, great, yeah. Guys. You know, I think, I mean, from what you both said, I mean, I'm exactly the same. I think we're all sort of on that, you know, helping customers and companies to embrace what's out there and move in their journey and grow and use the technology to help them. And I think really, you know, one of the things that I found so fascinating over the last year, and I mean, last year in particular, you know, Gareth and I were chatting, Will, to companies that were using the likes of WhatsApp to communicate with staff. And that decision really came from, say, for example, their kids, you know, using WhatsApp with their chums, and they've gone, that looks good. I think I can bring that into the workforce. And that's now evolved again. And what we've seen over this last year is basically companies starting to use now either Teams or Zoom. And really that decision as well, you know, what's fascinating when I talk to companies and even ourselves, that decision's not necessarily always been led by the leadership team, but by the staff and the employees within that organization who've started to embrace that, you know, so you've got your Friday night quiz going on in Zoom and you're meeting up with your friends and family during a, you know, a team session. And people have looked at that and gone, that has real benefit. I'm going to now bring that into my business. So an organization's, you know, decision to use one over the other has very much come from the employees. And I think that's what we're seeing more and more and more. You know, employees are really starting to change how organizations work and bring forward that digital transformation journey. Are you guys seeing the same, Will, you know, with QBS and other partners?
So I think there's a really interesting phrase has come about in the last 6 to 12 months, which is the democratization of IT. Yep. You know, we're seeing more and more IT decisions or IT systems selection decisions getting made, you know, by the workforce.
Yeah,
and you know, and Zoom is a really, really good example of, you know, a technology that you've become familiar with on 6 p.m. on your bi-weekly catch up with old school friends call.
Yeah,
I use that as a very personal example, and it's also and it's kind of driven that that behavior and that software selection internally. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, one thing I would say is that that selection of systems from a democracy basis may not necessarily be the right thing in terms of mm-hmm. the strategy of the business. I mean, Gareth, mm-hmm. what's your view?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge because I think the term stealth IT is dangerous because you've got staff who, with all the best will in the world, they are looking to bring the right packages into the business. But as you say, how does that fit into the strategic journey of the company? How does it fit into the security concerns of that company? Mm-hmm. And when you see customers like Gemma and I will go into client sites and new business sites, and it's like walking into somebody's house and not liking their wallpaper, we'll see all the things that we know can be changed. And it's how much you can actually change that in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And what we find is when we start to dig under the surface of what an IT manager is showing us or a CEO is showing us, the staff have already made those changes, albeit unbeknown to the rest of the organization. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is we want to come in and take that learning that they've had. We want to take that inspiration that they've had from their personal mm-hmm. lives, but make that more relevant to mm-hmm. that customer base in terms of business applications and being mindful of all the pitfalls. We see the pitfalls every day, but not all at once. So we learn as these products develop and move forward. So we're hopefully best placed to help those customers understand why using WhatsApp is not a good idea for your business, for example, and what other applications could replace that.
And you know, it's one thing that I would say has been really interesting in, I hate the phrase, in the new normal in which we're operating today. It has been the speed with which everybody's working in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of whether it's, you know, whether it's on your own working from home, whether it's working in a satellite office with one or two people. Mm-hmm. But even to more foundational matters like, you know, having a sales conversation. Mm-hmm. Having a large internal meeting, back in the day, and obviously back in the day was February 2020 and earlier, we would all jump in a car and go and do lots of meetings. But actually, you know, we've had this new normal forced upon us, and people are embracing some form of technology to change the way in which they're working. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys feel the same about me as me, but I think you know we've addressed that remote working from a meeting perspective, mm-hmm. and we've basically grabbed on something that we've seen is familiar, and I think Zoom is a really good example of that.
Yeah,
I think that's really key. You know, organizations have sort of made the decision to go one way or the other, and have sort of, as you say, well, latched on to something like Zoom and gone, that's great, that gets us over this hurdle, this bump that facilitates my meetings, my chat. What we're now sort of seeing is companies going, well, that's great. Now, what do I do next? Where do I go from here? What does that look like? What if I'd want to take this to the next level? What does that look like? And how do I do it? And you mentioned a really important thing there, you know, Will and Gareth yourself as well. It's the strategy of the organization and also the pace at which they change. You know, this has been forced upon many businesses now quite quickly. And I think as well, a lot of organizations are going, I need to catch breath, but at the same time, they're going, well, the pace has been good, so try and keep up momentum where possible. I think what Microsoft have done really well is, you know, in terms of Teams, and when you start to use it and embrace it, is starting to really empower employees, but start to bring all those other aspects. You know, they've very much got the sort of Teams, the chat, the collaboration aspect pretty much nailed. And what they're now doing is going, right, look, you've got your meetings, your calling, that sort of stuff. Now you've got to get under the real nitty gritty bits of what's going to make your organization much more effective and start to really process well, which is that collaboration aspect. So what do we do next? You know, where's your files, your folders, and where's your business applications? Where's that sitting?
Yeah.
You know,
where's
and bringing
data?
It all together. Yeah, exactly. Data's key. You know, where does it go?
And it's the speed of all of that. So if you think about, you know, somebody who, as Will said, you have meetings. Like if we have two meetings a day, that's us out of the office under normal working conditions.
Yeah.
You could easily have two meetings a day now and get on with other things in between or after. Mm-hmm. So the speed of transition and the speed of collaboration using these tools, be it Teams, be it Zoom, be it whatever, people start looking around the business at the speed of their other applications, the speed of their other processes, and start to question just how manual or how laborious or how many bodies it takes to run through those processes. So yeah. I think the speed of adoption, because everyone's been forced to do something, has been healthy. Mm-hmm. It worries me slightly that to embrace the next step, to take back some of that control, we lose that speed and we lose that enthusiasm, because there is a nervousness about things moving too fast. But I think the speed's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just doing it in the right way with the right people and the right partners. And if people start looking away from the face-to-face or the meeting space that they're in at the minute and around their other applications, because I'm sure it has frustrated the life out of people having to work from home, and all of a sudden this process in the office that you had to walk from point A to point B to point C with a piece of paper is no longer viable for an organization.
And you know, it's kind of interesting, because you know, we're on this call, we're all used to dealing with, let's say, IT buying decisions. It's what we do, right? One of the things that we've seen, particularly when it comes to, you know, the COVID challenge, which we're all experiencing, is there's no time to prevaricate. So we've seen speed of decisions accelerating.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing that is really, really fascinating, if we're talking about something like Teams, for example, is you look at the investments that someone that Microsoft are putting into that platform, mm-hmm. and the growth of that platform. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I look at Teams and you know, I'm going to steal another really good phrase here. You know, if I look at Teams, it's very quick. It very quickly becomes, if deployed right, mm-hmm. it very quickly becomes the operating system of the business.
Yeah.
Because you know, we haven't got that, you know, that face to face contact that we're kind of genetically predisposed to, you know, embrace and be collaborative mm-hmm. within the same sort of space. But Teams does seem to be, you know, not only plugging the gap, but actually enhancing collaboration, even if you're sat on the same workspace, within the same workspace, as your colleagues. And mm-hmm. that's the key thing when it comes to, you know, you may have embraced remote working, you may have embraced, you know, video conferencing on a one-to-one basis or a one-to-many basis. But that's, you're scratching the surface there. You're scratching the surface of what true collaboration looks like. Yeah. You know, like you said, Gemma, it's a case of not just sharing files, but it's a case of sharing information, case of sharing data, and creating that single cockpit view of either your operational part of the business, but also the whole of your business.
Yeah, and I think that's key. You know, we've always said, you know, Gareth and I would speak very sort of highly of how much you have to consider the data at the center of your organization and the tools that facilitate that. So you say, well, Teams is starting to scratch that surface. And now we're really, you know, working with organizations to start to think about the what next? How do I scratch further? What sits underneath that? Gareth, I mean, what's your view on a company coming to us or working, you know, we're working with a business that has scratched that surface? Where do they go next? When, you know, what's the sort of next step in that journey for them?
The big thing for me is an organization has to understand where the gaps are. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, is it a data gap? Is it a process gap? Is it a people mm-hmm. gap? And they need to have that firmly in their mindset when they engage with somebody who's going to help them with their digital transformation journey. Mm-hmm. I understand, though, that's a very, very difficult thing to do, because we said at the start, how do you visualize something when you don't know what the journey looks like?
Yeah.
So the big thing I would say for anyone is, don't feel that you have to look into your next steps as part of a sales process. That's something mm-hmm. you're going to buy at the end of it. It's all about education. It's all about understanding where your gaps are, and you'll not understand where they are until you understand where the technology is. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot here about Teams mm-hmm. and that Microsoft stack, but even that product, I was going to say simple product, but it's not simple. It does a lot. Microsoft's rate of change in that product is daily. It's just a daily change. So how do you keep ahead of that if you're not living and breathing that technology? And it's the same for your other applications, your ERP, your CRM, your applications, your legacy applications that are sitting there that you've never updated. how do you understand where they now are without being educated? So I would say firmly, get yourself involved in webinars that your partner's running. Reach out to them. Let them work with you to show you what's there with no preconceptions that you're going to sign a contract at the end of it. Just get yourself educated and let's identify where those gaps are.
And it's interesting, the education work, because you know what we're seeing more and more is, you know, the availability on the art of the possible.
And
in fairness, Microsoft are absolutely leading the way in a number of these facets. I mean, look, my background is you know, I'm a Dynamics 365 fanboy, right? I mean, I've been working in the ERP space for about 1,200 million years. And you know, it's one thing that's absolutely fabulous to see is, you know, there was a new release of Dynamics 365 Business Central, for example, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, part of the 2020 Wave 2 release. Teams was front and center of the release of an ERP platform. It was front and center of the release of the CRM platform. Why? Because Microsoft, you know, they're a people, because they realize that the more the customers are going to collaborate, the more that they're going to get, they'll create usage of their big IT investments. Big IT investments in the SMB sector, CRM, business apps, ERP.
And that's exactly it. And they don't want then businesses going, I've got Teams, this is fantastic, now I need an ERP system, I'll go and choose something that sits outside of that. They recognize the need to, well, actually, when we start to then expand and look beyond that sort of initial calling chat bubble, what sits around that and how do we then bring it in? You know, Microsoft are really good at embracing the competition, you know, bringing other applications into Teams because they realize the value of that, you know, things like Slack and Zoom, etc., all being accessible with inside Teams is just enhancing that sort of space and bringing stuff together. And then they've extended that into the ERP CRM space. You know, what they want to ensure is that, you know, companies have the ability to grow and make something central to their business so they don't end up with little pockets and pools of data at the end of the day,
100%.
You know, which 100%. Is key. And I suppose one of the things as well that, you know, a phrase I heard a couple, which I thought was very fascinating, and you'll like this one, Will, if you've not heard it already, is how does an organization make sure that it doesn't become a really fast, fat caterpillar, but actually turns from a caterpillar into a butterfly?
Through
digital transformation. And I do think that that's what Microsoft are trying to do. They're trying to say, look, you know, don't do one thing in one way and then move over and do something else somewhere else, because then all you're going to do is become a really fat, fast caterpillar. To truly evolve, you've got to think about it. But then potentially then where organizations need to sort of catch breath is to say, well, digital transformation will happen at the pace in which my organization can cope. And change that they do is, you know, very much, it's very much up to them as an organization. It's their business that will decide what digital transformation looks like for them. So it's probably a case of organizations not looking at what everybody else is doing, but looking inwards, taking a breath and going, this is what I'm doing and this is what's right for me. Yeah. And, you know, Gareth, as you said, it's that education piece. It's bringing it all together.
In terms of the fat caterpillar analogy, I know you're getting t-shirts made because you love that so much. But in terms of applications, well, what do you think's changed in your time, you know, working for Microsoft, working for QBS, in that application environment where systems have grown into fat caterpillars and organizations have grown into fat caterpillars because they just keep doing what they've always done on a legacy basis? What do you think changes or has changed within applications and software in the last couple of years that's different to how it's been before?
So I think, you know, front and center, you know, of this conversation is always the cloud, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we look at the majority of ERP systems in particular out there, you know, you've got systems that were implemented, you know, maybe even by the likes of myself back in the 90s. I know, shocking. I have been doing it for that long. And you know, there is absolutely no way that those systems will be able to integrate with the other IT investments that organizations have made. I think what cloud has done is actually, it's actually it's actually created a lot more freedom in terms of selection.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? Basically, you know, regardless of the size of your organization, you're able to access, you know, what would have historically been, you know, enterprise level solutions with, you know, the associated enterprise level price tag, you know, almost regardless of the size of your business. And I think that's absolutely key. So I use the word democratization in terms of IT. This is the democratization of cloud. So we're creating it. So there are now applications that are available historically that would not have been available to, you know, the majority of potential purchasers. Mm-hmm. You know, when we see organizations go to market today for a new ERP system, a new CRM system, you know, there's typically one word that stands out in terms of the why, and that's integration.
Mm-hmm.
That's integration into, you know, not just the bits and pieces from a software and technology perspective that organizations may have invested in, but integration into the whole of the business. You know, we use the phrase siloed thinking a lot, but actually that siloed thinking becomes siloed systems in many, many respects. You know, think about how you share financial data throughout your organization. Historically, it would have been your finance team who may have sent a report out every month, or may have even invested in a very expensive BI project, and then everybody would access the system that way. But actually, I mean, I'll use a very personal example. I mean, we have a multinational business, and I've got a team based across, I think it's 11 different countries today. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have teams there to share information on a daily basis, you know, the business would not be able to make the decisions at the right time that it needed to. So we use teams to stage the data being fed by our Dynamics ERP and CRM systems. And, you know, again, it comes back to that, you know, teams is kind of the glue.
Yep.
And, but you have to have something that it can stick to. So if you've got legacy data stuck in these silos, you know, we are seeing organizations who have realized that who've almost accidentally started that digital transformation journey and then now realizing that they kind of need to pull through some of these legacy systems into their digital transformation journey.
It's funny you say the word accidental there, because I think, you know, in this day and age, you still get customers who, if you mention the word cloud, they back away. Oh, it'll do cloud. And then on the other hand, you find out that they are using WhatsApp and they're using Facebook for their marketing and they're using Teams for their communications. Yeah. So you are using cloud.
Or they're using their bank. You know, it's always the funniest thing for me when we're having conversations with customers about, data's not secure.
Yeah.
Well, when was the last time you went into your local bank branch?
Yeah.
You're accessing it via cloud application. It is really interesting point that you make there, Gareth. There's still that knee-jerk reaction to, ooh, cloud.
I think that's it. You know, it's bringing it back. It's humanizing it. And, you know, well, I love what you said there about, you know, teams as your stage. And I think, you know, organizations, businesses out there now need to start to think, well, how do I bring everything else on stage? I've got this stage, this platform, you know, I've got to now get everything else on it. So as it's visible to everybody, but visible, you know, obviously in terms of the information and the security that sits behind that, which, you know, is an endless pool of opportunity and options there for an organization as well when they start to embrace that platform, which is significant. It's just getting started, and I suppose having the nerve and the courage to make that next step and keep going and not let that digital transformation slow down and keep up the pace of change and let the employees drive it forward.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that fascinates me at the moment is how silos exist, why they exist. Is it people cause them? Is it systems? Mm-hmm. Is it both? It'd be interesting to hear your take on it and how you think people should start looking at unraveling those silos. What things could they do immediately to start removing the silos from their business?
For me, it's always been about processes.
Yeah.
It's always about having processes that started within a department that never got outside of the department.
Yeah.
Because the process then leads to the accumulation of data, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And the accumulation of information that's then trapped, and it's no one's fault, quite frankly, because, you know, one thing that every single business on the planet does on a daily basis is change and evolve.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, we're presented with this opportunity to look really hard at our businesses. Being a shareholder and a manager of my own business, mm-hmm. you know, it's this whole COVID piece has actually forced me to look at my own business in terms of the way that we yeah. work, the way that we interact with our CRM and our ERP mm-hmm. systems.
Yeah,
there's never any harm in taking some time out as a management team mm-hmm. to take a step back and look at the way you do stuff today versus the potentially could do stuff and how technology can kind of accelerate and enhance any form of change that you're thinking.
Absolutely. And we're getting a real life example of what working from home is because we just heard Jan as well. So
I do apologize.
Happy days. Just in terms of, you know, where, you know, to finish off and to summarize the session today, if you were to pick one thing, Gemma and Will, that you have started doing during lockdown mm-hmm. in Teams or another business application that you think has made a difference to what you do, what would you say that is?
I'll kick off if you like.
Yeah, go ahead, Will.
For me, it's my daily dashboard. So mm-hmm. I've got Power BI embedded in my team session. When we have a conversation in the morning, on Monday mornings, every Monday, we have a conversation with the sales team. And we have the Power BI dashboard that's shared amongst everybody. And here's the interesting thing. They can then comment on the dashboard, say, this is why we're doing really well, or in some sad, unfortunate cases, not so well. But it sounds really easy, but the impact on my business has been huge as a result. Because we're sharing market intelligence, we're sharing the whys within our business that, quite frankly, would probably historically have only been talked about on a quarterly basis. So it means that we're able to absorb data, interpret data, and make changes way more quickly as an organization.
Yeah, I really resonate with the speed that you're talking about there, Will. You know, what's been the biggest change for me in my role is using Teams, but having it as that central stage, as you say, you know, that collaboration piece. So we've gone past now using it just for that chat collaboration aspect. We are now using it, and I really enjoy seeing other people now starting to really, you know, come together inside the system, using it for files, folders, and that collaboration aspect for me has made a massive difference. Having the ability to go in and see all of the different sort of teams that I engage with, very clearly defined in their own little sort of bubbles, you know, to be able to chat with them. And, you know, I work with employees across the whole business. It's been fantastic for me to be able to go in and just have access to everybody in one space and seeing all that data come together. And even something very simple, we've now got some of our ERP reports coming straight into Teams. So again, it's having that access and being able to chat about it and not have to go through millions and millions of emails to go, where did that go and what was that about? You've got the chat functionality there, the searchability on that, and it's all together. And I can honestly be working from home without it because I couldn't survive on email. It just would be too much. The volume would just be purely, you know, just so overwhelming. So it's been the absolute key thing for me.
For me, it's been, you know, my key thing in Teams changes every day because I've never stopped looking at it and what's cool and what's new. But on a personal level, I actually hate the sight of an internal email now, especially one where you've got the world CC'd into and it's like Lethal Weapon 2, who's going to pick up the wire, who's going to run with it. In Teams, it's basically, it's collaborative. You know, Gemma and I would be very close to the back end of it, the admin side of it, the productivity side of it. And using it, you can view it one way, but when you actually start seeing a lot of the reports about the uptake and the collaboration and the productivity and what sort of communications get answered quicker than others, we're seeing a massive adoption and a massive uptake in internal chats, collaborations, you know, one-to-one, one-to-many, customer insights. All of that's pulled forward and pulled into the core. And as a result, for me, things are happening quicker. We're resolving issues quicker. We're reaching out to customers quicker. And we're not using our inboxes as an excuse of busyness anymore.
Yeah, we're so much more responsive because information's at your fingertips and that alerting, even just something so simple as an at mention function, you know, it grabs your attention. It means it's for you as opposed to an email that you could interpret 3 or 4 or 5 ways. Yep. And I think, guys, you know, that's a really good way to sort of summarize everything we've been talking about. You know, our own personal experiences, what we can see is that it's helping us in our daily business, helping our teams and helping the organizations, and through very simple mediums of teams and bringing, you know, starting to bring more to that forefront, you know, things like Power BI or files or folders, etc., our other systems into that has been, you know, just fantastic. And I think I would encourage any organization out there, you know, if anything within this podcast resonates with you and you're sort of thinking to yourself, where do I go next? What's available to me? That educational piece is the best place to start. And we're here to sort of help and educate. And there's a wealth of information that we can point you in the direction of. And so it's just a matter of reaching out and seeing where you can go. And we're here to help you to do that. And okay. Say thank you both to yourselves for joining me today. It's been really interesting to hear your views. You have been fantastic. And hopefully we can do this again soon. Get another podcast. So thank you very much to everybody for listening. And we'll hopefully see you on our podcast series. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Nate.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. Bye.